Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, what God's revealing to us is that, you know, I can see him because he sat up under the bridge with her, you know, as she's homeless. And her story is that she was on a particular drug addiction and she had to leave Washington, D.C., which I think there's a lot of people on drugs in Washington, D.C. And then and then comes to get away, you know, and here, you know, when he goes to spy out the land, you know, in the early processes of going to Pittsburgh and hearing God, and it's, you know, it's about to manifest all of the faith and all of the deeds. And and with that, that that to go back now with the God's perspective of the poor and realize that she is Lazarus. And that sitting under that bridge with the right perspective, you know, is, you got to get that, because everybody in Pittsburgh are the same to God.
Right.
And quite often, it's not a hard thing to explain to poor people that that they're okay with God. It's just hard to explain to the rich people that they're not any more important or any better than the person who doesn't have anything at this point in time. As a matter of fact, what you do, and this is the really interesting thing about that, is the fact that if you look at that, Jesus is telling the story. Jesus is the one telling it. And he said nothing and did nothing unless he heard his father say it or do it. And so this is a very important thing. You know, and he confirms it also. He said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me or didn't do. But he said this about the rich man and Lazarus. A long story short, Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. But they didn't say he was in adultery. They didn't say he was, you know, doing something wrong. I mean, it just said that his viewpoint of mankind was wrong, and he did not share his possessions, things that God had given him, did not share it with Lazarus.
Right.
Because Lazarus was wanting to eat the food that just fell from his table, and he had dogs licking his sores, and and you know, Mother Teresa really had this.
Yeah, you know, she gave her life to the poor and to the unborn, and when we can live a life like that, that's totally surrendered to say, you know what, every person on the face of the earth has value. Yeah, I remember one of her quotes is so awesome. One of her quotes is that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them. And we've got to be careful that we're not judging the poor. We're not looking at them and saying, how did you get there? And how did you arrive there? And what happened to you? And
we,
if I
are
give you
them.
This dollar, are you going to buy George with that dollar? Are you gonna, and we're going to love them and take care of them, because that's what God called us to do. And you look at the church and you look at some of the recent statistics from George Barna. You know, did you know that the more income they've did this research, I think the believers, the more they made, like between $50,000 to $70,000 and above, they actually tithe a less percentage than the person that tithe in the income range was you know, a little bit lower, you know, actually significantly lower. And the thing is that, the conclusion of the research was that the wealthy Christians were trusting in their richness and were not trusting in God.
Right.
And the person that had less was able to have total dependency upon God. Even the less that they had to say, I'm just going to honor God with it. And we just got to get the right perspective on what God is saying.
You know, and thinking about that, John, like you're saying, it's having the right perspective of Jesus's perspective of the rich man and the poor man. And so often, especially in America, we can get blinded by what we see in the natural, whether it be a building or clothes or something. And I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was just so hungry for the things of God, and I just wanted to just share his love with everybody and do what I can. And in that, I had such a concern for, all of a sudden, it was like homeless people became known to me. It was like all of a sudden, it's like my eyes were just open to that. There are homeless people in my own city, and I began to think about it, and I'm like, I have never noticed homeless people. I never have. I was 28 years old. And all of a sudden, I was just like, I want to do something. I have to do something. And I found out that there was a, it was during the Christmas season, and I wanted to, there was a, kind of like a group that was like handing out food to the homeless people. You can go downtown, and they had everything set up, and people would call ahead of time and say, I need food. And they would, you would bring food to them. And on this route, there was a specific residence, an address that we had difficulty finding, and he had asked for like 8 or 9, you know, servings of food, I guess, for a large family. Mm-hmm. And we finally find this address, and it was back behind, you know, the driveway was long, you know, the grass was high. It was an quote unquote unkept house. It wasn't clean as far as somebody might originally think about. We get to the house, and there's trash all over the front door, all over the patio. The door's cracked open. So I knock on the door, and I'm like, hello, is anybody home?
Mm-hmm.
And an elderly man comes to the door. He's in crutches. It doesn't smell clean. He's very unkept, missing most of his teeth. Looks like he hasn't bathed.
Mm.
And I said, hey, I said, how you doing, man? And he looks at me, and he has got the biggest glimmer shine in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest smile.
Wow.
And he looks at me with just the most biggest just display of gratitude, and he just says, I'm blessed. And I'm just thankful to be here.
Think about it, the poor, they're so rich in faith.
Right. And we talked briefly, and I handed and we talked, and I gave him the food that we had for him, and he was just so grateful to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it was just like my paradigm was just shifting. Mm-hmm. In a moment. And as I left, got back in my car, and God speaks to me, and he said, that's a rich man.
Wow. Exactly.
And I just started crying. I just started weeping. And it's just like, we miss it. We have it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, God said, that is a rich man. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, riches is not, you know, your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Riches is not, you know, your 4,500 square foot house, or, you know, the size of your car, or the amount of acreage that is put on your asset list on your financial asset. It's like, richness is the kingdom of God. Richness is in the things of Christ and his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Are you rich in your relationship with Jesus? Because I'll tell you what, when that man said that to me, I was just beginning a journey of just like, God, reveal to me your riches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it just, God is good.
Awesome. It's powerful.
Well, think about, you know, when you look at what happened to Israel, you know, under Hitler and how they came and oppressed the Jews, and they took away their businesses, took away their homes,
mm-hmm.
took them into the ghettos, packed them into houses, you know, took them into trains. They took him to the concentration camps.
Yeah,
right. And in that, the mm-hmm. concentration camps, they even killed them and shot them with firing squads, and took them into showers. They looked like a shower. Then they sprayed chemicals on them to kill them. Then they burned them.
Mm.
And then they degraded them so much they wouldn't even look at them like they had value. You know, a guard would come out and I don't know, what's the movie, Schindler's List. I mean, you've got to see that to get a perspective. But you know, they would come out and this one particular guard would come out and stand on his balcony and just start shooting at them like they were ducks. And they wouldn't even give them, if you watch Schindler's List, you know, and you need to watch it with your parents' permission, but you need to watch it to understand that that's what Satan thinks of you, church. You know, that's what Satan thinks of you. And you think you got a partnership with him, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates you. And he wants you to feel like you're nothing and you don't exist and you're devalued and all these things that so many people are blaming everybody else for. It's actually Satan telling you that directly, and he's accrediting it to people around you, making you think they're the ones doing it, so you can be divided from the very people that's going to give you hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in that, you know, when you're, I'm watching clips, you know, we have a teaching series about, you know, seeking God's perspective of Israel. And in that, we're playing clips about when American soldiers freed them from the concentration camps. They were so neglected. They were so, you know, it was just terrible what took place, that they had them all sit down in groups, and they started giving them the soldiers gave them like candy bars and different things like that. And like this one lady, she takes this candy bar. This is an actual thing happening. This is not Schindler's List. This is footage from the soldiers coming and free them. And she takes this candy bar like she will never have a candy bar again in her life. Mm. And she takes it and she goes and she hides it. Mm. I mean, to the lowest common denominator. Satan wants to take you down to the lowest common denominator of your life. And her hope was that she thought she would never, I mean, she was gracious that she got that. But this is the big thing. And that's huge. I mean, but listen to what I'm about to say in comparison to what we're talking about. And then one soldier just looks over in the eyes of one of those Jews that were sitting there, you know, waiting to be fully freed or whatever, and just gives her a kind look. That's it. And she just begins to weep. The Jewish lady begins to weep because it's like she was she did not even exist.
Yeah.
And even a kind look. A kind look. She was grateful to God because somebody realized I exist, and they gave me a kind look. You know, I'm telling you, you know, I challenge you to walk around, look in the mirror quite often. But it's just people are so aware of their own looks when they look at themselves in the mirror. They give themselves a real good look, but when they look at you, it's like the world's falling apart, and it's like, well, I'm just thinking. It's like when you look at yourself, you're not just thinking.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we need some kind looks.
Your face to smile, please.
Yeah, tell
please
us tell that. You know, let's put some duct tape on that puppy and pull it up with a smile going on. But when you put a mirror in front of their face, it's just like this bing.
Pearly
and
whites.
It's like, you have been fooled. You only smiled at yourself. You know, and that we got to start giving people gracious looks.
Yeah.
You know, we have to start again. You know, saying, you know, that we are thankful, just like this man that Steve's talking about, that God can put us in a place in our life. If we're not grateful now with what we have, he can take us in a place where we have nothing and we'll be the most grateful person in the world. But why do we have to go through all? Why don't we just say thank you now? Why don't we share our possessions now? Yeah. Why don't we just quit, you know, stop playing church and start to be the church, which is the body of Christ, and be his hands extended? And understand that, you know, share, if only 97%, according to George Barna, are even, you know, giving to God, you know they're not giving to the poor. I mean, come on, we got to begin just give. Mm-hmm. Just be freely, you know, we receive, we need to freely be able to give that and understand that. And just, you know, it's the love we have for each other and our compassion that says that we're Jesus's. You know what I'm saying? And that if we're not loving God, I mean, obviously we're not Jesus's, and we're not a great witness, and love is obedience to the Lord. And if we're not loving each other, we're not obeying the commandment, right?
Right.
And it's so simple. It's so simplistic, but it requires you to die to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same, right?
Yeah.
That's just how simple it is. But the problem is we're not in that equation. But he said, listen, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, you can have no part of him. But it's okay, because if you love God and love others, God will love you.
That's right.
And if the creator of the universe, who is preparing the wedding banquet for you, if he loves you, I mean, come on.
That's come on. Good
you
love.
Think about that. And not only that, he'll love you through the very people that you are loving for him, because he dwells inside of them.
That's right.
It's just a beautiful thing. Everybody, so many people are waiting, well, you love first. It's like, well, that ain't going to happen. Right. God's not going to let that happen for you, because it's the wrong motives. It's the wrong motives that he's beating himself with a mic. He's like staying go boom, 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 boom.
Hey, he's like, oh, it's like, there, man. No, you're Marine.
I'm telling you, well, he's
out,
running
right?
in place, hitting himself in the head with a mic, kicking him with his foot. It's like, oh my goodness.
Hold him down over there. He's excited.
He likes to spin his chair when he talks. That's what it is.
Like, does
spin.
He? No, what he's doing is he dancing
spin
over
his
there.
Chair, right? We don't have that energy. We just kind of like, you know, just hit stationary. But watch my lips. Watch my lips.
Yeah, I'm strapped in this chair. Right. Beat me up.
Yeah, right, right. I see your abs, man. That thing is really working right now.
Hey, man.
That barbed wire fence. The but understanding that when a soldier just looked at her after all those years of being mistreated and being everything taken from her, you know, we're gonna be grateful. Let me tell you something.
It's coming.
Gratitude's coming.
It's coming.
I mean, gratitude is coming.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, are we gonna choose to be grateful now?
Mm.
Or are we gonna wait till somebody gives us a chocolate bar and a kind look?
Mm-hmm.
But gratitude's gonna come.
I'm telling you. That's why one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. You know, it's like, why are we sweating what our neighbor has? This is what America's doing. You know, they got a new car, so I need to get a new car. And we're measuring our lives by what the commercials tell us, by what our neighbors drive and by what our coworkers are doing. And but we're not looking at the world and we're not recognizing that we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth.
Well, I don't think this generation today even understands the word covet. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, covet, it's like, you know, wanting in your heart is that deep desire to have.
Think of a different semantic than that, because that's such a, they file that away.
Kind of like jealousy. It's like what you were saying before. And you know, you see what someone else has, and you are no longer thankful for what you're given.
Yeah, you want it. It's exactly. That great desire to have something that you don't have. It's like a deep envy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and you're not satisfied, and it's like a comparison, or you got to have it. It's like, that's all America. I mean, think about it.
It's a lot of America, right.
I mean, you know, look at children. I'm sorry. But you look at children, and they have a toy, and immediately they see someone else's toy, and they just drop it. They cry, and they say, I want your toy.
That sounds like a lot of big children.
Does that happen to children, too? I'm thinking, does that happen to children, too?
Yeah, does that happen to children? And it's like, you're right. If we don't learn gratefulness on this side, you know, that's what godliness with contentment is great gain. When we start to appreciate that everything that we have comes from the hand of God. We've been living a life that's taken so much pride for the things that we have. You know, one of the greatest things to do is just sit in your house and just look at the things that you've been blessed with and realize, wait a minute, it wasn't my strength that this was God who provided this. When we make that shift in our mind, we realize, man, we are blessed. And God has equipped us with everything that we need. Mm-hmm.
But John, you can only do that when you start giving something away. So don't, you know, think if you put all your stuff from A to Z, and A is what's most precious to you, and Z is the least precious to you, then what the church has been doing to this point is giving away the Z's.
That's right.
The Z's.
Yeah, giving up the messed up shoes to missions and the, you know what I'm saying? All this other stuff.
Yeah, think about it, the Z's. Anyway, so, but then, you know, go, and then what you said was most valuable to you, and practice now by giving it away. Give away your A.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it yet, give away your B.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep giving it away, and you'll be happy with your Z. I mean, just keep, until you understand the people that you're giving to is just as important to you, and the guy is for an audience of one, and you're trying to get your heart in alignment, start giving stuff away. Just, I don't care if you don't have, listen, America thinks it's all about money. God says it's about increase. So if God's giving you, you know, 5 or 10 oranges, give one orange away.
Mm-hmm.
If you that's right. And then that's your tithe. So then give away 5 other oranges as an offering. You know?
That's right.
You know, if he gives you a car, give somebody a ride to work.
Mm-hmm.
And know that every day you're giving them a ride to work, that you're saying thank you to God because he gave you that car. It's an increase.
That's right.
I mean, there's so many different ways to be able to thank God, you know. And before we go to a break here just for a moment, I want to be able to welcome Mike and Denver and Teresa and Keith and so many new listeners, Cindy. I mean, as we're listening right now, we have these great listeners. Hector. Hector.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so glad to have you guys joining us and connecting to us, and we're excited about walking this out together. We're excited about bringing this where there's hope. Mm-hmm. There's hope for America. There's hope for the world. There's hope for the church. If, in fact, we hear the voice of the Lord, which is one of a loving Father saying, come back to me. We'll be right back.
All right. Talking about gratefulness. And
yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's so good.
Well,
if you
think about it, we'll enter in his courts for gratitude. His courts for gratitude, understanding that when somebody comes to you and all they do is whine, you know, you just don't want to hear it. I mean, if you did all that stuff for them, and they're not even. I mean, it's just like
complaining breaks me out into an itch.
I mean, didn't you just drive here in a car? You know, didn't you have gas in your tank? And didn't you just eat this morning? And I mean, start with something that you're grateful for when you're talking to God. You know, are you an American? I mean, come on. I mean, we're living in the top 3% of the world if you're American. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's something to be thankful for. And when we compare, like, what we're talking about with Lazarus, when we're talking about, you know, the man that Steve saw when he was handing out the food, you know, just being grateful. It's amazing how many people are who have a whole bunch of things and stuff and all mm-hmm. that they're not grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They're miserable. It's like, I mean, you got all this stuff and things and cars and I mean, everything you can imagine, mm-hmm. and you're miserable. And it's like, you know, start over again.
Yeah.
You know, start over again. And with that, when you start over again, get rid of everything. Just give it all away. Mm-hmm. And with that, you mm-hmm. can begin to appreciate the things that God gives. He says about this, I believe it is in Amos chapter 2. That he says specifically that he will take everything away from you and then begin to give them back one by one until you're mm-hmm. grateful, you know? And it's like, you know, sometimes we have to do that ourselves. Just get rid of everything and begin mm-hmm. again.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.